our God, and that's part of doing that. I want to just say how good it is to have our visitors with us. That's always an encouragement to us, and we hope and pray that you find that the time that you have set aside to worship the Lord is profitable, that you will be benefited by being here as we strive to do the will of God in this place. That's an honor for us that you have chosen to be here with the people of God, that you've come our way, and that it's important to you in your life to give honor and credence to the word and will of God. Also, just thankful to have a few folks back with us that have been away. It's good to see Dennis out this morning, having been under procedure this week. Good to see Doug and Denisa back with us. You know, you don't realize how much you miss the back of someone's head until it's not there. And you realize just how comfortable that is and just how glad we are to have that relationship and share the things that we do together. I think the oldest person that I ever have baptized into Jesus Christ was 92 years old. And I remember that occasion very fondly. We were living in South Alabama at the time. And we had a lady that was a member of the church. Her name was Vivian. And her husband, John, had never been to services. He had never been with her. He had been resistant to anything to do with the Lord. And over the course of time, I got to know John Artis a little bit. He had been an across-the-road truck driver and had seen the world in more ways than one, and had the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And he was not in good health, and he was near the end of his life. And upon much reflection and study, his stubborn will yielded. And I remember what he said to me as we were talking about his life and the things that he had been through, and he just simply said, "I have wasted my life." And I have thought about that statement a lot since then, and my desire not to do the same. But I occasionally find myself just thinking about that statement that he made. I have wasted my life. In the truest sense of the term, he did. And I'm thankful for that. He salvaged what he could in the present, what was left. And he salvaged eternity. And so much more importantly, that. But I have known people in the ultimate sense that have wasted their life. They have done that physically, had all the opportunities that they could want, and they have just thrown those things away. Far worse than that, to know people that have thrown away eternity and all that God has made provision for. And that truly is the definition of a wasted life, if that's something that we don't obtain. In Luke chapter 15, we encounter a boy that was wasteful. And we're very familiar with this story, as it's one of the most well-known and famous stories in all of the world. Even among those that are not adherents to the faith of Jesus Christ, this story is one that is certainly very well-known. And it's of the prodigal son, and this wonderful story of a boy who loses himself and then finds himself. But in that story, we find this statement that's made in verse 13, that not many days after he receives his inheritance forcibly, or not perhaps in the right circumstances, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. To be a prodigal is to be wasteful, and in its definition, the idea of prodigal means to give up or to yield profusely or carelessly. This morning I want for us to turn our attention in the book of Proverbs to the idea of a prodigal life. A prodigal life. And to talk about prodigal living a little bit in the book of Proverbs. And I think the writer of the book of Proverbs helped us understand how not to waste what God has given us. And God has given us so much. He has blessed us beyond our wildest imagination. given us a hope that is unequaled in anything of life. We are so fortunate. But that can be wasted. And I want to just look at a few practical things very quickly with you from the book of Proverbs related to the idea of living a prodigal life. You can live a prodigal life. You can waste everything that God has given you. And it's not hard to do. You can live a prodigal life by a philosophy of, well, there's safety in numbers. And the idea of just kind of succumbing to societal gravity. Our brother Norman kind of mentioned that a little bit in his prayer this morning. And here's this force of society which pulls us to consider something normal which is not. And it is remarkable. Just in my generation, to think of the shift of thinking that has taken place in under 50 years, and I want to emphasize that, that there has been an enormous, just in my life, shift of thinking because of societal norms and this wave of movement, and that's kind of what it's been known as, a movement that has moved us far, far away from the norms that God has established. And we have just been borne along by this wave of influence. Look at what Solomon says here in Proverbs 1 and beginning in verse 8 down through verse 19. Solomon gives us a warning about that. And here is really encapsulated and pictured for us this idea of the enticement of the world. He says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." What Solomon is talking about here is this pressure that we have in this world, in our schools, in our workplaces, in every facet of our life, whereby we are being pressured to accept what the world accepts. You join in yourselves with us. Come with us, put your purse in with us, let's just all go together. That is not something that a Christian does. He doesn't fit in with the world, he doesn't put his stock in the things that the world puts its stock in. He is not running, verse 13, on the same hamster wheel of materialism that the world does. And what Solomon says is if you're doing that, you're destroying yourself. That's what verse 18, you're killing yourself by that. You're seeking your own blood. You're lying in wait, lurking for your own life. And little do individuals know that are doing that, that they are living prodigal lives in verse 19, wasting what God has given them. Exodus 23 and verse 2 gives an important philosophy, young people, for you to live your life by, I think. And that is, do not follow a crowd to do evil. Don't join yourselves. If you're with the majority most of the time, you're going to be in the wrong place. If you're with the crowd most of the time, you will be where Jesus is not. And so think carefully about that. And the way that leads to life is narrow, and there are few who find it. Jesus said, come follow me. Don't follow a crowd. And that takes strength to swim against the current. It takes strength to go the opposite way and to swim against that wave of influence that the world is pressing upon us and to try to make us into its mold. The whole world, you see, is calling evil good. That's the watchword of our society. It's the methodology of our time. There is nothing evil. All is acceptable. Be careful with the safety in numbers philosophy. Look also, if you will, over at Proverbs chapter 3. You can live a prodigal life by choosing the wrong sources for advice. And the proverb writer talks about that in this passage. It's a father entreating his son, speaking to his son about the way that he should go. And he says there in chapter 3 and verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Here's a father appealing to his son, not on the basis of the fact that they are blood relations, but on the basis of the fact that he has walked this path. Of his wisdom that he has gained through the Lord. And the appeal is to his son to walk that same path, to listen to your father. But much more than that, it's that wisdom that is gained by experience. Don't go to your peers, don't go to those that are in the same station of life as yourself, same maybe the same struggles that you're going through, that haven't walked that path. And you can live a prodigal life if you do not listen to those who have already done so. When I think about that, the case of Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. You might remember that story. Here's a young man that ascends to the throne, son of Solomon, and this great weight of responsibility that has been now given to him. And he has a choice to make about who he's going to listen to. And he has this choice to listen to those that are his peers and those that maybe are the upstarts and the upcoming young people of his time, or those older and trusted individuals that have some wisdom that they've garnered from experience. And he does what I think most of us probably do. And that is he chose the advice. Now there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But not so much if at the end of that you choose the path that really I think you wanted to go from the very beginning. And I think that describes Rehoboam. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be exigent. He wanted to be difficult. He wanted to exert his power. And these young people said, yes, do that. You be as hard as you can on these people rather than taking this open-minded view of what was true and best and where older, more experienced people could contribute. In life, when difficult time comes, let me encourage you to seek out the right sources to listen to. When the complex problems of life, when life's complex equations come, don't ask the person sitting next to you in math class, because that doesn't help. You go to the teacher, and here is the best one that you'll ever find. You better find the right sources for the advice, and you can waste your life if you don't find those sources. Over in Proverbs chapter 5, I think we have another indication of something that can cause us to waste our life, and that is if you don't have an ability to manage your sexual inclinations in your life. If that's an area of your life that you struggle to control, and that you yield to those inclinations. It is not difficult to waste your life entirely because of that. Proverbs 5, beginning in verse 15. The wise man here says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. You have to learn the context in which those desires that God has provided to you can be met in the right way. In the way that God designed that they be met. And that's what verse 15 is talking about. Drinking water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. You go to the right source for that. There are blessings when the gift of sexuality, which is given by God, is appreciated and valued and honored as it ought to be. It doesn't take long if you get on YouTube or you get on some other media outlet and just kind of Google sexual problems and pornography issues to see the countless number of lives that have been destroyed because individuals could not learn how to control that inclination in their life. And that's an important thing for all of us to consider. The proverb writer warns about that in chapter 7, and he gives some instructions to his son in particular. And certainly that is not limited to males. But all of us must be wise to understand the vulnerabilities that we face in our lives. And he talks about in Proverbs 7, beginning in verse 6, down through verse 23, just how one is brought into that. And if you don't look away and if you're not paying attention and you're not wise, just how soon you can be lured in to that philosophy, to that lifestyle, to that danger that is just bombarding us, folks, every single day. I mean, that's something that you've got to learn to look away from. And you've got to learn to be able to handle, because one click of the mouse and you're gone. And that's hard. And as the wise man says, we're not going to read this whole passage, but look at verse 23. As he comes to the end of this section of warning to his son, he makes it very clear what the end of a failure to be able to control that can bring. He says, till an arrow struck his liver and a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. If you want to live a prodigal life, a wasteful life, fail to be in control of that part of your being. And if you struggle in that area of life, life will be a struggle. So much time can be forfeited, the mind can be muddled, the soul can be far from God. And it is a scourge upon marriages, upon single people, upon young and old, and women and men. Waste your life if you fail to properly manage your sexual inclinations. Over in Proverbs chapter 6, there's something else that the proverb writer talks about. That is, and that's choosing to sit still rather than moving. Choosing to sit still rather than to move. And if you do, then you will be caught off guard. Let's read together here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 6 through 11. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I'll tell you what, in our society in the present time, I am extremely concerned about the direction of especially the younger generation as they see, I think, socialism rearing its ugly head and being now accustomed to bailouts and loans being repaid. Now listen, if you have a college loan that's being repaid by the government, take the money. Take the money. If I paid mine off too soon, apparently. That's great. But let me tell you something right now. Don't become accustomed to that concept or that idea, because in its overall general sense, that is not from God. Let someone else take care of my responsibilities. Let someone else cover the things that I have done. And be very careful not to be drawn into that. By the way, that's not sustainable. There will come a time when, much like the boy who cried wolf, when you really needed it, it wasn't there. So prepare yourself. Get a job. Work hard. Be a responsible citizen in this world. Don't depend on anybody else to take care of you. And you can waste your life if you're going to depend on other people taking care of you. The Lord God wants accountability and responsibility. And if you want to live a wasteful life, you just hold on to that sense of entitlement that ought not to exist. Proverb writer talks about, and certainly we will reap what we sow, develop a work ethic. Work hard in this life that God has given us. And by the way, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. That's God's law about this. That's the way that He intended it. In Proverbs 10 and verse 4, He says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." In Proverbs 20 and verse 4, He says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." You can live a prodigal life by maintaining an angry disposition. Be sure that you are angry and sin not. When you are angry, and I wouldn't encourage you to be angry. But if you do get angry, don't sin when that takes place. I must express my anger in an appropriate way, and that it ought to be characterized as righteous indignation most all of the time. And have... It's not a minor inconvenience that makes us angry. And look over at Proverbs 16 in this regard, in verse 32. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. I shouldn't be characterized as an angry person. And success in this area of life is severely underrated. In Proverbs 16 and verse 32, He says there, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." A root of bitterness, that you're just this angry person and it controls you and it drives you and it's the characteristic of your life. You'll waste your life if that describes you. And all the joy that you should be experiencing and all the goodness that God has given will be overshadowed by that wastefulness in terms of our disposition. Look over at Proverbs 20 as we begin to bring the lesson to a close. You can live a prodigal life by being addicted to the wrong things. To be addicted to the wrong things. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 encourages us to be attracted to and given to the right things. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. What is it that really drives us? What is it that catches our attention? What is it that really, you know, we want out of life? What are we attracted by? Surely it must be the right things. And the wise man encourages his son. Can you think of any concept more in line with the idea that we're trying to communicate today than the idea of one who just gets wasted? And it's because of some substance that has taken control of their life. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, he says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Turn over just a couple of pages. Look at Proverbs 23 and verses 29 through 33. If you want to end up like the prodigal, then search for an escape in some substance that will take over your sobriety and ability to make the kind of decisions that God would have you to make. You get wasted and you will waste your life. In 23 and verses 29 through 33, he says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea. If you want to be tossed to and fro in life without any stability, and at the end recognize that you have wasted your life, then find some substance to be addicted to. It's not the way of God. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? And there's no end to the stories of ruined lives and wasted opportunities. I'd like to close this morning looking over at Proverbs chapter 5, if you will. Close with this passage in the book of Proverbs. Folks, God has provided for us the most wonderful lives, with the most wonderful hope, in the most wonderful Savior, in Jesus Christ. And He wants us to live and enjoy it. He doesn't want us to waste it. Don't go day after day in not rejoicing in what God has given, not enjoying what God has given to us, in appreciating that. In spending time in prayer, in spending time with our families, in spending time in the Word of God, in being zealous for good works. Remember what our yearly theme is for this year. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're called to take advantage of the abundance that God has given. Proverbs chapter 5 and verses 7 through 14, we've got to listen. Just got to pay attention to what God has delivered to us. To hear what our Father says to us. Proverbs 5 and verse 7, therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. So that's talking about that same picture of a woman that might be an influence upon the son, but really the idea is much broader than that. To anything that would take you and take hold of you and take you away from the Father. And he says in verse 9, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Don't get to the end. At 92, if God graciously gives you that amount of time, and have to say, I've wasted my life. Don't give your years to the cruel one. He says in verse 10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge. Notice this. Maybe this morning you're here and we're so glad that you are, but you're struggling, that you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You haven't found that joy that exists in Him. And maybe you're just right on the edge. And that's what the proverb writer is talking about here. I was on the verge of ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. There's an answer for all of this. That we don't have to waste our lives. We don't have to live prodigal lives and have that kind of regret. And that is by an obedient heart To do the will of the Father in heaven that has done everything for you and given you an abundance and just everything we could possibly ask for. The prodigal son could go home to his father, and that's the beauty of the story. And if you can just picture this old man running down the road to his son, who finally has got the picture. And he knows what he's wasted and he knows what he's thrown away. But he knows that he can regain that. And it says here that he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He had wasted everything with prodigal living and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This morning, if you're here and you know that you've lived a prodigal life or you're living a prodigal life, don't throw away this opportunity. Maybe today, just this opportunity may be all that you're given before the Lord calls us home. There is someone here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you to do that. Take this opportunity to have the most wonderful life that you can possibly live in this world. We want to help you with that. If we can, won't you come? I'll stand.